Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I want to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Greetings, everyone. How's everybody doing? This is Motown Maurice. You're listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. It is the 23rd of December, 2011, so you know what that means. Listen and focus in. You know, I've been in L.A. for a year and 3 months now, and one of my performances that really stands out and on my resume was a participation in a theater project. And it was my first time. I didn't understand the purpose of theater until I got involved in this project. And from being a part of that project, I understand why people love theater so much. I understand why everybody wants to be involved in it. And if you're not involved in theater, then you're missing out. So I would like to take this moment to dedicate a song to all the theater lovers, the theater connoisseurs, the theater performers, the theater professionals, all of you out there. I just want to dedicate these words to you, if you don't mind. Making a way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And you're always glad they came. You want to be where you can see the troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. You want to go where people know the people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today, she is a local celebrity in the theater community of Cleveland, Ohio. She is an actress, singer, performer, and her theater credits run across the board on stage as a performer and off stage as a manager. Everybody knows her name, and if you don't, you will know it now. Please put your hands together and welcome Cindy Verbalin. Put it up, put it up, put it up. Put your hands together. What are you waiting on? There you go. Cindy, how are you doing?
Okay, Motown, how are you?
I am doing fine. I'm great. I'm happy to have you on the show. And speaking to you and hearing your passions about theater, I get it. I understand. I'm right there with you. You know what I mean? You want to go where everybody knows your name. It's like a family when you're a part of theater. Isn't that how you feel?
Yes, it is. Exactly.
Yes, yes, yes. And your credits run across the board. Tell me how you got started. You got started at such a young and early age, by the age of 9, correct?
Yeah, I was 9. My mother signed me up for Kane Park theater classes in the summer and opened the whole Pandora's box.
So what were those classes like at 9 years old?
Oh, gosh, they don't do much. It's mostly games. Like they'll play theater games where you name names, cities, states, exercises that you don't realize at that age really help train you to do things later, like trust people in theatrical ways and things of that nature. But you just think you're playing games, like anything from Duck, Duck, Goose and whatever they have in mind. You know, when you're a child, that's what they can do with you.
Does any of those games come in handy now? Do you ever, you know, conjure up a duck, duck, goose to warm up before a performance?
DuckDuckGoose, no, but there are a lot of exercises that I did in a couple of summers, actually, that I spent at Chautauqua Institution in that theater school, where you can warm up your face muscles, your body muscles. We used to say tongue twisters, and we would, one of our teachers used to have us jump around in a circle singing Red Leather, Yellow Leather to some famous ballet song. I don't remember the name of it. But she's jumping around in a circle going, red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather, red. It does warm up your tongue. So.
Wow. So you do that today before you go perform?
Sometimes, yeah. Depends on what I'm doing.
Wow. You know, I need to start doing some more warm-ups like that. I think, you know, it would definitely help. I don't know if I can get through that tongue twister like a red leather. I don't know if I can get through that one. But I'll definitely find one. So from performing as a child, the work that your mom put you through, you also did some work in college, right?
Yes, I was in the college theater department. I'm a member of the National Dramatic Fraternity Alpha Psi Omega because of that.
Nice.
It's a different world there. At the time that I was at Notre Dame, it was all girls, so we were a little limited on what we could do, and we'd have to borrow one or two gentlemen, but we still had a good time.
Fantastic. So, everybody, we're going through the timeline because your timeline just continues to evolve and get greater. So from college, you then got into community theater, and that's where you've embraced a lot of lead roles, correct?
Yes.
And how was that? Name a couple of the lead roles that you enjoyed the most.
Oh, gosh. I did Maria in West Side Story. I did Sarah Brown in Guys and Dolls and Amy and Company. And one of the ones I really enjoyed was Becky in Do Black Patent Leather Shoes Really Reflect Up? I can say I'm one of the only Jewish folks I know that crowned the Blessed Virgin statue in the sixth grade. I did that in the show.
It
also was a diet I would never recommend. I had, Becky was a little fat girl, so I had fleece stuffing from my neck to my knees and ace bandages around my calves and around my arms, and I think I lost 10 pounds doing that show.
Fantastic. So the community theater project that you're talking about, is all of that in Cleveland, Ohio?
There is a lot of community theater in Ohio. There's a lot of theater generally in Ohio. A lot of times what happens is someone will do a project and it will end up becoming a theater company. Not always great, but usually it's nice. but there's a lot to pick from here.
Fantastic. Yeah, the more people I interview from Cleveland, I'm learning that there is a culture of the arts and film that is growing, that is hungry, and you are definitely a part of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the wonderful Cindy Verbalin on the line with me, and there are some callers patiently waiting to talk to you. Cindy, how do you feel about that?
Okay. Be nice, guys, please.
I'm sure they're going to be nice. You're a nice person. You've got some wonderful pictures, and we're going to take our first caller from area code 818, and I believe that's my good friend, Cracker Brown. Cracker Brown, are you on the line?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Motown?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Great, brother, great. Hi, Cindy, how you doing today?
Okay, how are you?
I'm excellent. I just wanted to call in and show you some support. I'm a friend of Sunshine's. She was nice enough to put me in touch with Motown, so I just wanted to call in and ask you a question today.
Sure.
I understand you've been in the industry for a while, and my biggest question is what do you plan on doing with the money that you make once you finally are discovered?
What money?
Well,
one thing about Cleveland, it doesn't pay all that well. I don't know what it does out in California or New York. What do I do with it? You know, it really depends. I can try to put some in the bank. Most of the time it's just a case of less money than bills on the table. So you got to pay what you have to pay, and if you got something left, you try to put it away for a rainy day. It's a little hard.
Well, you know as well as I do, there's plenty of money to be made in the entertainment industry. It's one of the highest grossing industries in the world. So,
yeah.
With that being said, once you are finally discovered, I would just curious as to what your plans are for the millions of dollars you could potentially make.
Oh, I see. Once someone discovers me. Okay. Well, there are a number of charities that I would probably sign on for. I have some friends that would benefit greatly from the AIDS Task Force, which we have here in Cleveland, actually. Both my parents, unfortunately, contracted cancer, so that would be one of the things that I would want to give to. And also, Elaine Boozler has this great little thing called Tales of Joy, where she collects donations to help find pets homes and take care of them. And there's nothing more helpless than a pet. So certainly those, whatever would come up. Plus there are theaters. I donate off and on to the Rubicon Theater Company. I've donated to DeBama and then my friends at Mercury Summer Stock. And really, they're all deserving because it's so hard these days to get money. People in capital health and the arts are a luxury, and they really are not, but what can you do? I have a button that even says the arts are not a luxury.
Go ahead, Motown. Sorry, buddy.
No problem. What I was going to say is one thing that I like about what you just said, I mean, you've already started donating. You know, when the money, the millions does come in, you will give even more, but you're not even waiting on the millions. You're keeping it going, and that's a good thing about you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Cracker Brown. We greatly appreciate the call.
Thank you. Have a great day, you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. And we're going to keep the party going. I believe we have another call, and this one is from a familiar voice, and we all know her as Sunshine. Everybody knows Sunshine. So get ready for Sunshine, because she is shining her rays. Sunshine, you are on the line.
Hello, Motown. How are you?
I'm all right. And yourself?
Wonderful. Thank you for asking. Cindy, how you doing?
Okay, Sunshine. How are you?
I'm lovely. Thanks for asking. And Joe Cracker Brown is not one to toot his own horn. That's the guy who does my demo reel.
How cool.
Yeah, and that's why he was calling in to listen to you, because I'd been bragging about you. I have a couple of things that I wanted to ask you, coming from when I started in the entertainment industry, which was in Cleveland and meeting everybody out there. And when he asked you something about making money, we all had to cry. I know, Cindy, because there's like hardly any money in Cleveland at all. So my point in sharing that is that you have this amazing heart and you're always giving to people. When, oh, when are you ever going to come to New York or California and give of yourself in the entertainment industry, because they actually do pay for jobs out here?
I would love that. I had told Motown, I go to Ventura at least once a year. My friends at Rubicon out there do some of the best theater I know. I'd love to move there, but housing there I think is like $1.5 million or billion right now. Sure, I'll go back to the money tree.
I know.
I'll be set for the month.
Well, the key is you live in Long Beach and commute to L.A. That's the key, because I pay half the rent that the people in Los Angeles pay, and I have a small one-bedroom house, and I'm good with that, you know. And you find the different things. Yeah, actually, hopefully you have a friend who's been around for about 6 years in L.A. and knows where to send you. Hi there, Cindy. How are you? I'm pretty good at hooking people up. Just ask Motown.
Indeed.
I know, right? But then the other question that I wanted to ask you, and this I really do want to ask you, because I have a serious memory problem. I actually had to turn down a lead role that I had.
Oh.
Murder mystery play out here, but I had so much other stuff going on, and it was like a 72-page script that I, plus going to school full-time, I couldn't possibly memorize, and I'm going to try to do it with them next year. But my question is, how the heck do you memorize all that stuff, man?
The lead couple in Cleveland right now, Dorothy and Ruben Silver, I like to call them the Lunt and Fontaine. Dorothy just did a show a couple of years ago, Golda's Balcony. I think she was 75, and that show was her by herself for like an hour.
Oh, my God.
Each act. And I remember asking her that same question. I said, Dorothy, how do you memorize? She said, oh, at my age? I went, at any age. I don't remember. A lot of it is familiarity. I did a show a couple of years ago, To Kill a Mockingbird, where I narrated the whole thing. I was Miss Maudie, and I had 9 monologues. And a number of scenes in between. And I was terrified because if I blew it, the whole thing went up the chute. And there was one night during tech rehearsal where, thank God it was tech, there were 2 times I stood in one spot on the stage, and I got to that point, and it was a scene where the lead character, Atticus, had been spat on by one of the people that were going up against him. And my character said to him, aren't you going to do something? And he said, aren't you going to say something? And he said, I wish Bobby Old would chew tobacco, and leaves. And then my line was, I'm glad the children weren't here to see this. And then the next thing I was supposed to say was, when they returned 3 hours later, Calpurnia was still expressing her outrage. She was the housekeeper. And instead, what came out was, what did the character say? Tom Robinson was taken to Enfield Prison Farm, 90 miles away. We were in the courtroom. We were at recess. The jury was out. The verdict hadn't been given yet. I'd just given the verdict away. I looked out in the house and shut my mouth and went and sat down. Because if I kept going, we would have had to lose the scene because it was a scene change monologue. And
man,
the fact that had the cue for me, we're back there going, okay, what do we do now? And I'm sitting down going, I don't want to know from this. I don't want notes tonight. I want to hide. So
thank God for Tech Week, right?
Yeah.
I want to say this. I took a basic acting course up there with Ray Such from North Coast Casting.
Okay.
And that was a very helpful beginning class. But where I learned a lot more, and you just made my day, believe it or not, when you said red leather, yellow leather. I learned that. I have an amazing teacher at Long Beach City College whose name is Greg Mortensen. He taught a class on improv, and that's when he did all those exercises and taught me red leather, yellow leather. I love that game. And then he said the one thing that he tried to help me with memory, because of my memory, is, now does this help you, Cindy, in theater? He said that when you get a script, you read your script and you don't just learn your lines, you learn the story. Because 2 things, once you learn the story, then there's a cohesiveness and a pattern where it goes from one place to the other, so you understand where it's going. And then the other thing is, when you learn your character and what you're about, then when somebody says something to you, once you've read the story enough, then your lines will come to you. And when you're doing your blocking, which the blocking is where you stand, and then you learn what you say when you stand in a certain place. You know what I'm saying? All those things come into play, and I'm assuming that they help you, because I am seriously up for a huge role next year, and I will take any advice I can get. So thank you for being on Motown Show today.
Oh, sure, and absolutely, that will help you. And the other thing that helped me was I put a crib sheet up my sweater.
Thank you.
The order of what my monologues were, I'd get off, and I'd go, where am I? Okay, I know what's next. Anything to keep sanity.
Yeah,
you know?
But usually aren't the lights so dark you can't read it anyway?
Yeah, well, we never left the stage. We had chairs on the side of the stage, so we'd sit down, and I would very carefully pull the sleeve up just a pinch to see the note and go, okay, I know where I am.
I'm so going to remember that, I promise. I don't want to take over the show. I just monopolized enough of your time. You're welcome, Motown. I'm going to go ahead and release the phone and listen to the rest of the show. Cindy, it's lovely chatting with you. I'll talk to you later, okay?
Okay, thanks, Sunshine.
Welcome. Take care. Bye-bye, Motown.
Bye. Thank you, Sunshine. Wow. Since we're on the topic of techniques, are there any other techniques that you use that can be helpful to somebody that is, have stage fright or something?
Sure. You know, a lot of things are personal to the person that helps. Again, like what she was saying, when you know the story, that helps a lot. When you... If you don't have to, well, you always have to think. But for example, what I had said with that particular role, I recited the script once a day, usually on my way to the theater, because the theater was about an hour from my house. So I would recite the script, and that just keeps it in your head. you can think of things that will keep it fresh. Like you find things every time you do something or say a line, you can find things that are different. And that's like the show you could be doing for 6, 7, 8 weeks, and you'll look at a line one night and go, oh, I never thought about that before. And it's things like that that will just run the point home. It can keep it in your head. And if you love what you're doing, like in particular the patent leather shoes, I will say now, I did patent leather shoes in 1990. I did West Side Story in 1984 or 83. To this day, I could give you any line that I said in either one of them. I don't know why.
Wow.
I think it's because I enjoyed it that much. Don't ask me what I had for breakfast this morning. But I can give you any line in any of those shows verbatim. So.
Wow, that's fantastic. So how about meditation? Do you take time to just meditate and hum? Any of that work?
Yeah, well, I don't do the whole extreme thing. I did yoga for a while. No one was one that could put my foot over my head. I tried. But I think relaxation helps. I mean, if you're completely tensed up, everything's going to go to hell. If you go on and, or you hadn't had any sleep, sometimes a good kind of just breathing for a few minutes and relaxing will help. People use music. I remember in Hello Dolly we had in our dressing room, it was like a pre-show, almost a tradition thing with a tape, which was hysterical. It was whatever, about 10 songs that were popular on the radio. And our last show, the girl who would put the mixtape together ran copies for us on CDs. So it was the first time I figured out what some of the songs were, because I knew them, but I didn't know the titles. We had like Florence and the Machine on there and Prince. And she played right before we go on stage just to get everybody in a great frame of mind and all loosened up. So whatever works for you is what you do, just to get yourself into the right place to do the best you can when you get out there.
Fantastic, fantastic. What I want to do is, we don't have much time left on the show, but I want to flip things because, as I said in the introduction, you are a performer on stage, and you also have a significant role off stage as a stage manager, a stage assistant. So your love for theater is across the board, without a doubt. So I want to mention a few things that you're currently working in the production aspect. And, of course, because you have such a relationship with all of these things that we're going to mention, please feel free to give them a shout-out and talk about them. So the first one is the production Jesus Christ Superstar, One Night Only. Talk to me about that and express yourself.
Okay, that was something that happened in Los Angeles back in 2006. There was a company out there, they're still there, they're called Youth Theater America. It was organized by Jack Nakano. And this was a production put together just before the last Jesus Christ Superstar tour with Ted Neely. And what they did was they got the people, as many people as they could from the original 1973 movie, Ted Neely and Yvonne Elliman and Barry Denon, and then they brought in Jack Black to play Herod, and Clint Holmes played Simon, he's from Las Vegas, and then they brought in Ben Vereen to play Judas because Carl Anderson had passed on, he was the Judas from the movie. And they also brought in a number of local artists, and it was put together in roughly 5 days once we got the ensemble. And I was lucky enough to be a production assistant on this show, and I also was part of the Agape Choir, and we augmented the ensemble. You can see us on the stage pictures if you know where to look. We were down by the scaffold. But it was an incredible evening. It was my first time on stage in Hollywood, and we're looking at all the celebrities in the audience going, oh, look, there's Gina Davis, there's Harrison Ford, there's Wayne Brady. Oh, my God, I don't believe this is going on. But it was just a wonderful experience, and it benefited both Youth Theater America and the Ricardo Montalban Foundation.
Fantastic. Moving down the list, okay, the Rubicon Theater Company, Beckett Fest in Ventura, California. Tell me about that.
Rubicon was started in 1998, I believe. I guess it's about 13 years. I could be wrong on that. Shoot me for that, guys. They're a wonderful place. They're in Ventura. and they do amazing, very cutting-edge theater every year. They just finished doing The Mystery of Irma Vep, and they're going to be doing and the next gig up, actually, is Ted Neely and his little big band. He's hopefully using this as a start for his next tour, if it works well. But I was out there for 16 days at this wonderful thing they did called Beckett Fest, which was a festival that featured all of Samuel Beckett's plays, either on or off stage and on the screen. And I house managed it. We did Waiting for, well, they like that. Samuel Beckett called it Waiting for Godot. It's also Waiting for Godot. That's a French pronunciation. And Walter Asmus, his assistant, directed it. That was the centerpiece. We had about five or six other shows that were Beckett shows, Happy Days, and oh gosh, can't remember right now what the other ones are. And we had about six or seven more on the screen. We had people come from, gosh, Germany, Canada, Dublin, England, Ireland, all over the place. You would have to go all over the world to get what we got in 2 weeks there. And it was just an incredible time. I called it Wonderland.
Fantastic. Moving down the list, Inherit the Wind.
Yes, I got to play a juror at the Cleveland Playhouse, which was hysterical. They don't do it often, but occasionally they will use local people as extras in scenes, because normally they use union, and these are non-union, and I got to do nine shows where I got to sit in the jury box and listen to the script, and the acting was just incredible. And we got to be a joke because I did so many of them, because I would come around the corner and the head jurors that took care of us would see me and go, oh, hey, Cindy. And they knew where I was sitting, because one of the actors and I would always sit next to each other and just have our own little, oh, we're talking every time someone's on the stand going, wow, did you hear him say that? And just funny things like that. And I did nine different shows of it, and I have pictures. And it was just, it was a real highlight, because I'd always wanted to be on that stage, and I finally got on it, even if I didn't have a line. And I was on it with my teachers, which was an even better thing.
Nice. Got two more to mention, two more. The Mercury Summerstock.
Yes, Mercury Summerstock is where I'm the office manager now. That is, again, it's a local theater company in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. It got started in, I believe it was 98. This is going to be our 13th season, and they do some really amazing stuff. Pierre-Jacques Brault is the artistic director, and when you watch that man direct, he's just really genius. And I'm not blowing smoke. He's incredible in action. Then Brian Marshall, the associate, he's a co-founder. And Dan Marshall, the associate artistic director also, is when he's in town. And this summer we are going to be doing three shows between June and August, plus a Teen Stock production. We are doing Cats, and then the next thing is Once Upon a Mattress, and the third is All Shook Up, and the teen show is Footloose, and the auditions will be in February, and you can find the information out at mercurysummerstock.com.
Nice. Repeat that one more time so they can find it. Mercury.
Sorry?
Or the website. What is the website again?
It starts in June. The auditions are in February, and mm-hmm. we'll have all the information on mercurysummerstock.com.
Very nice. Last but not least, it's actually not on a theater stage at all. It's you as a radio personality on the Ray Carr Show. Tell me about that.
Okay, Ray Carr has a show. It runs on Tuesday mornings from 7 to 9 on WCSB. I believe it's 89.3 FM. It's a Cleveland station. And it is absolutely hilarious. He will play things on the radio that you will never hear anywhere else. You might hear on his show he'll play the Beatles, or he'll play, you know, the Supremes on the Four Tops, but they'll be singing in German.
Wow.
Or he will play. There's a character in Vegas. He's just a really crazy guy. His name is Richard Cheese. And he does these really hysterical send-ups to, like, heavy metal songs. I can't repeat here because they're horrendous. They bleep me off the radio. But he'll do heavy metal things. I can't even, one that I saw him do live in a stadium. And just hysterical. He'll play stuff like that. Or the Napoleon the 16th, they're coming to take me away. Mm-hmm. And because of my job at EB Dynamics, we do his website, which is, you can go to, raycaram.com. And all these shows are in his archives, by the way. And he let us barter in exchange for working on this website rather than pay. We got to barter for time on his show to talk about EB Dynamics. And we're on most Tuesdays, 7 to 9. I haven't been on in a little while. He's had a lot of guests in a very small studio. I think he has four chairs. So, but we can also call in. And it's hysterical. He's a really great guy. You guys should really listen. He has people from all over the world that listen to the show. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot of fun for a couple hours on a Tuesday morning. And he let me come on and be a guest most weeks, and or I guess you could say it's a personality. He asked me my first week if I wanted to do that. I said, sure, and he's let me sing and plug my shows. And it's just been a great time.
Oh, man, exciting. I might need to steal you and be a co-host on my show while I'm at it.
That would be great. I'd love it.
Sounds great. Well, Cindy, we are about out of time. Thank you so much for being on the show. Would you like to send all your listeners to a website so they can find out more about you, or how can they find you? A YouTube channel, website?
Yeah, I do have a YouTube channel. It's under CV, like Charlie Victor Actor 1. CV Actor 1. I have a YouTube channel, which again is CV Actor 1. I think I said that. I am on the Internet Movie Database. We're trying to get the thing updated, which is fun these days. But it's 3367920, I think, are the numbers on the end, with NM in the front. And you can also go to myspace.com/CindyVerbelin, and I have my videos up there as well.
Fantastic. Cindy Verbelin. I love it. Thank you very much for being on the show. Can I ask you maybe one more question?
Sure.
All right. Now, everybody's talking about this guy who's the future of late night television, and I don't know who it is. Do you know who's the future of late night television?
I sure do.
Who is that?
His name is Motown Maurice.
All right. That is who he is. And that's me. Thank you very much, Cindy. I really appreciate you being on the show.
I hope to have you
back and keep me posted with all that you do.
I will. Thanks so much for having me, Motown.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes, everybody knows her name, indeed, Cindy Verbelin. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check her out, support her. She is a theater connoisseur. She is across the board, on stage, behind the stage, in front of the stage. She is doing it well, and she has the experience. Thank you very much for that technique, Cindy. I'm definitely going to be reciting Red Leather, Yellow Leather a little more often before my shows and probably some other performances. I really appreciate that pointer. So thank you very much. Keep doing great things in Cleveland, Ohio. This is Motown Maurice calling out, signing out on my show. Check me out on my website, MotownMaurice.com, to check out my quest as I venture through my journey. MotownMaurice.com. Take care. Be blessed. Have a great weekend. And Merry Christmas.